6 months into his new role as Bloomington Police Chief, Dan Donath says his department has made progress in some key areas, including recruiting more minority and female officer candidates and changing and modernizing the department's culture. Donath tells Eric Stock he is not ready to take a victory lap over a drop in complaints against his officers from 20 in 2018 to 11 last year. He's not sure what it means, if anything.
I think there's always an ebb and flow to the number of complaints that you receive. We're happy the number is lower. We think that's a good thing. What exactly is behind it, we can't really say, but we appreciate the numbers being lower. But I found over the course of time that there's always an ebb and flow to police work and the number of complaints you might get. It's really kind of hard to say. It's almost like the crimes that some years go up, next year they go down. There's always a little bit of variance in a career of this nature or a job of this nature.
How much do you believe body-worn cameras have impacted police officers' behavior?
You know, it could have an effect on that. I certainly believe that there is some effect. But one of the things that we find, though, is, you know, a lot of times when people might complain, it might be because, you know, they're getting arrested. And a lot of times these folks don't even realize or remember that you have a camera on, because in the moment they might be intoxicated, they might be very emotionally charged, things of that nature. And it's really irrelevant to them that camera is on. And so I think there's some factor involved with the body-worn cameras, but I don't know that it's all of it.
It may be in the back of the mind of the officer, I'm thinking, though.
It's hard for me to say in that regards without asking them specifically.
What role has the Bloomington Public Safety and Community Relations Board had in reducing the number of complaints?
Well, I'm glad that they're there, because I think it's important for, you know, a city to have a second place that they could go to. Because if you had a police department, let's say they were doing something nefarious and they investigated their own complaints and it never really turned to seem to work out very well, I think that it's good to have that check and balances, to have someone else they can turn to evaluate those things. So I think their role and their value is important, even though they've gotten very little to no work to do in regards to reviewing complaints that we've followed up on. I think it's important that they're there.
And in your 6 months on the job as chief, have you addressed or stressed any officer protocols when they're in public? Has any of that changed or refocused?
Well, to a small degree, let's say. When I first became chief, within a couple of weeks, I went and met with all of our officers, on their different shifts and their different divisions, and explained to them what my expectations were. And so I went through a list of, you know, what I expect from them, because I think it's important when you work as an officer to know what are we trying to achieve and how are we trying to handle calls for service. And so I set those expectations. Haven't had the follow-up that I would like to this juncture, but because I know that's part of the process. If you want to change your culture a little bit, then you need to have follow-up on those things.
To what degree did you feel a culture change was needed?
Well, I think it's one of these things where as time goes by, you know, one of the things that I realize is that you should reevaluate what you do and why you do it. And in some businesses, and probably police work, we're slow to do that. We're slow to change. And so it was important to me when I became chief was to say, all right, so I've been a police officer for 25 years. The things that we did 25 years ago aren't necessarily the same things that we should be doing today. So let's take a hard look at those type of things and reevaluate what we're doing and the world we live in, and where do those two things land? Where do they meet at?
And are there certain things that you have found that were 25 years old that you were still doing?
You know what? To a certain degree, yeah, there are certain things. For example, I think mental health is a big component of the world that we live in. A lot of the calls that we have for service are related to mental health. And 25 years ago, you might have somebody, you know, stealing from the local grocery store just simply to go back to jail and have a place to stay. They maybe have a mental condition. And our process was, okay, well, they committed a crime, drive them to the jail, drop them off, when really it was more of a homelessness issue or a mental health issue. And so in 2020, we're looking at trying to resolve those issues as opposed to just fulfilling that law enforcement role of just drive them to the jail and drop them off, and then that's our role, and that's it.
Now, the latest case from the Public Safety and Community Relations Board found no wrongdoing by an officer, but recommended the department put in a formal notification policy following this 2016 case in which a Bloomington police officer voided a drunk driving citation. In this instance, the suspect didn't realize until we had showed up for his court date that it had been voided. He was still charged and pleaded guilty, but the officer admitted the mistake, tried to correct it. The individual had gone to the hospital and was not immediately accessible. So is a notification policy change something the department plans to address?
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that. I know that Assistant Chief Chad Walmsley is a representative that attends the PSCRB meetings, and he mentioned that to me at the end of yesterday. I was off-site all day. So yeah, we'll definitely take a look at it and see how that might fit into what we currently do.
As we continue on Sound Ideas with Dan Donath, the Bloomington Police Chief, the state of Illinois passed a measure last year to alleviate the cost of court fines and fees on people of low and moderate income and to make them more consistent and relevant to the offense. That has led to a drop in revenue to pay for officer training, which the state mandates. How has that impacted your department so far as you try to ensure these officers are getting their mandated training in matters of wellness, mental health, sexual assault, and those kinds of things?
Yeah, good question, Eric. Technically, they passed it in July of 2018, but it took effect July 1st of 2019. We're really kind of at the crux of that point in time. As we turn into the year 2020, we have certain mandatory training that we have to do, which is state mandated. And now we're seeing as revenue is coming into the state groups that actually receive those monies and provide the training for officers, that those funding is down substantially. Last I was told that just in January alone, it was close to $1 million less than it was the year before. So that's going to make it difficult on us to do that mandatory training. You know, how we accomplish that, I'm not sure how we'll do it yet. We've got a little bit of time left this year, but it's going to be a hurdle that we're going to have to get over one way or another.
Tim Gleason, Bloomington's city manager, was also chair of the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board. What kind of conversations have you had with him about this? And is there additional help from outside the scope of Bloomington's police department budget that could help alleviate some of that?
Yeah, I've talked to Mr. Gleason about it briefly. Obviously, he's on the state board, so he's fully aware of the circumstances that we're in. And I know that the Let's Be board is working to try to help solve some of these issues. So right now, we're in a little bit of a wait and see approach to see what kind of response we get from the state in regards to help alleviate this issue.
And it's our understanding that the money that goes to academy training for aspiring police officers will be reimbursed by the state, but the city has to come up with the upfront costs, at least in the interim.
And that's correct. Historically, the police training academies would just bill the state training board directly, and we wouldn't have a part in that process. And now they're requesting that we pay that upfront and then ask for reimbursement from the state. So with that being an unexpected thing, we've got to start paying that and put that in our budget that we didn't have before.
And who knows when that reimbursement comes, right?
Correct. Or to what level?
Well, the money the city receives from gaming revenue pays for security cameras. The department recently posted on social media that it was replacing some older cameras and installing some new ones in the city. There are 8 throughout Bloomington now, and I understand there's going to be more of them popping up in the city.
Yeah, our public safety camera program has been very beneficial over the last 5, 6, 7 years. Though we've only had a handful of cameras out there, they've been pivotal and solving a lot of crimes, including murder cases. In fact, a gentleman was found guilty this past December, and one of the key pieces of evidence that we used in closing was video of him riding his bike with blood on his pants. So, you know, our job, you know, at the police department is to reduce crime and the fear of crime. And public safety cameras are part of that equation. They're not a huge part per se, but they are part of that equation. And we're just trying to use technologies that exist today to help keep our city safe.
And they are all on public display, correct?
Absolutely. They're all on public display. They're marked with, you know, police department markings. When we put up a new one, we go and talk to all the residents and businesses around there to explain to them that it does exist and what it's there for. If they've got any questions, they can ask those questions. And so far, you know, we've got a great response. People love them. In fact, we get people call in and say, hey, can I have one in my neighborhood? But we just don't have that many yet.
So what do you do when a member of the public or a business owner says we need one in our area because we feel that we're more at risk?
Well, it's for us, the decision making is based upon, you know, what are the calls for service? What's the severity of the crimes? Those are what dictate where we locate them at. We're not just going to put them anywhere just to have them anywhere. There's going to be a purpose and a design purpose based upon, you know, calls for service and crimes.
And as we continue with Dan Donath, the Bloomington Police Chief here on Sound Ideas, we're about 6 months into the new year with legal marijuana in the state of Illinois. You still can't get it legally in McLean County unless you have a prescription for it, but that could change soon as the Green Solution in Normal has put in for a license from the state. Now, many have suggested we'll simply have to wait and see how this plays out because there's so many unknowns. How has it played out so far?
Well, for here, us in Bloomington, it really hasn't had much effect yet. But again, like I've mentioned on a couple of prior occasions, I don't think that will occur as much until we have our own dispensary. And then you're going to start to see some of the crimes that surround having a dispensary. If you read the Chicago Tribune, they've already had one burglarized. They've had people robbed. Actually, the medical one in Normal, somebody hooked up chains around the front doors and to their car and tried to pull the front doors off of it out. So those type of crimes are going to occur, and they're going to start to occur more often as a cash business and the amount of cannabis is found in our community. It just goes hand in hand. It's a natural thing.
So you believe that what they sell and the fact that they are cash only makes them more vulnerable to that kind of crime?
Well, absolutely. If people are trying to acquire cash or acquire drugs, then they're going to go places where it can be found.
How much time have the officers have to spend educating the public about what's legal?
We're making our efforts through social media to present that information to the public. The officers are you know, fully aware of what the new laws are. And, you know, we've talked to them about, you know, being reasonable about enforcement of the laws in areas where there might be gray areas. Try to do some explanation, maybe. Blatant, violations of the law will have the normal criminal consequences or, you know, ordinance consequences. But we're trying to work with the public in regards to making our way through this process of transition.
That is Bloomington Police Chief Dan Donath with Eric Stock. Donath says he could have hired up to 16 officers this year. The department is already short 8 officers, with 3 soon to retire and 3 more to go on permanent disability. He says the city has budgeted 2 more officer positions. He's pleased with the women and minority applicant pool in the current crop of candidates.